30. I'd ask you to please stand as we look at the Word of God. We look at this particular passage, we find this truth that the divine Christ has come to earth as a humble, obedient servant. That your attitude this season should be the same. Christ has come as a humble, obedient servant, and your attitude should be the same. Let's read from the Word of God, Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul, under inspiration from God, says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Around December 1st, I saw my first Christmas lights this year. The end of our street, a lone tree, the last house, had just a very simple set of lights on it. But when I saw the lights, I got a rush of adrenaline. And all of a sudden, I was renewed and strengthened just for an instant. And I rushed home and told Kay, I said, "Well, I guess we've got to start getting ready for Christmas." So I was getting in the spirit. So get out the lights. We'll have to get the tree. And I could feel some of the excitement coming back. And as I thought about what I had just said or what I was going through, I realized that I was talking about the spirit of Christmas, which is something we all talk about, you know, catching the spirit, or you've got to have this special whatever it is during the season. But what is it? What does it mean? What is the spirit of Christmas? Let's look at the Christ child. Let's look at the attitude and the spirit that Christ brought to earth, if we're going to find out what kind of spirit we should have this season, and of course, every season. We see something about this particular passage, how Christ came to earth. He came as a humble, obedient servant. Christ came humbly ministering to those around Him. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us in the Word here. There are two particular words that can help us get this message renewed in our hearts and minds. Two words. One is the incarnation, and the second word is servant. Christ became incarnate, and He became a servant. Jesus had a humble attitude. And in verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, look at it, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." Your attitude this season should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Well, what was His attitude? Christ's attitude was an attitude of humility. He came incarnate. The incarnation. And we look at that, what do we find about the attitude there? We find a person who is willing to humble himself. And what does the incarnation mean? For many of us who are older, we know, but some of you younger ones may need to realize this, or we might need to be refreshed. What is the incarnation? It means that the high and exalted God comes down to earth as a humble human being. The incarnation is the extraordinary one becoming ordinary. It is the immortal becoming mortal. The Bible tells us that it's the one who is infinite becoming finite. The Creator becoming a creature. The divine God becoming mere human. The high and almighty becoming low and humble. Becoming a person in the terms of a man. The person of God becomes a person of a man. We see something about what the Spirit we should have when we see the incarnation. Because we see also a person willing to become inconvenienced. Christ came from a wonderful, glorious place. A place above that we call heaven. And in heaven we find perfection. Well, Christ came from a place of glory that shines brightly and brilliantly. And yet He came down here to a dark and dismal place which isn't so glorious. In a low place that we call earth. We see Christ willing to enter into your problems and mine. So we learn something about the kind of attitude that we should have. Christ came to earth willingly entering in to the inconveniences of the people on this earth. Specifically, think about this. What Christ willingly knew He was in for as He came to earth. And the Scripture tells us that He was being found in the appearance of a man. Verse 8. He humbled Himself. The Lord God humbled Himself. And to these inconveniences, let me remind you what Christ did. First of all, He knew He was in for a manger. Didn't seem like much, but He knew there would be no room for Him at the local inn. Nothing available at the local hotel. No clean sheets. No clean bedding. No maid, no room service, no room at all, just a manger, a trough for feeding animals, probably in a stable somewhere. We find He's willing to become a baby, totally helpless, totally at the mercy of those who might care for Him. We find Christ willing to be born into a relatively poor family of Mary and Joseph and their humble beginnings. King Herod, he knew about Herod, didn't he? We studied him this morning downstairs. And he knew that Herod would attempt to kill him, even at 2 years old or under, that efforts would be made to put Christ to death. And yet he subjected himself to this. Christ also knew that He would come born into a family that His own brothers wouldn't even believe in Him. They wouldn't put their confidence. And yet He was God in the person of a human being. Of course, Jesus was willing to go through this, putting up with His ignorant brothers until they later in their lives saw the light and did put their confidence in Him. Christ knew that Peter, one of His own closest friends, would let Him down. How many times have we avoided relationships with people because we're afraid of being hurt? And yet Jesus knew His friends would hurt Him, even His intimate three in the circle, inner circle, Peter being one of them, would claim He didn't even know Him. Jesus was willing to humble himself into these kind of situations. He knew that one of his so-called friends would take out a contract on his life for 30 pieces of silver. He also knew that he would be put on trial with no reason, no cause, no accusation that had any grounds to it. And that he was willing to subject himself to being put on trial, though he had done nothing wrong. He knew that people would hate him and mock him and misunderstand him. Yet Christ was willing to take it all on. He humbled himself and entered into those inconveniences of life for our benefit. Christ knew that they would take spikes and drive them through his body, through his hands and feet. He knew that he would be willing or having to go through a lot of pain. But more than that, he knew that he would have to absorb the excruciating pains of hell, of being torn away from God's goodness, of being torn away from God's grace and comfort and consolation and any encouragement, that he would have to be isolated, alone, taking the full judgment and wrath of God. And yet he willingly stepped down and says, "I'll do it." We see Christ humbly inconvenience himself. And so we see a glimpse of the spirit of Christmas this season. We see a spirit that we should have, a willing spirit, willing to be inconvenienced ourselves. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each person should give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." The spirit of this season is to be willing to give of yourself as Christ has. And that's what we see in the incarnate Lord, a cheerful, willing person who is freely giving of himself. You know, what Christ said about his death could easily be said about his incarnation. He said, "I lay down my life. Nobody takes it from me. I lay it down freely of my own accord." But he could just as easily have said that about his incarnation. That "I come to earth freely. No one forces me to come to your earth. No one twists my arm or makes me do it. I do it freely of my own choice." So I ask you this season, I wonder, are you willing to submit yourself, to inconvenience yourself for the sake of others? Is that your spirit? Or is it too much of a pain? Where are you in your thinking this season? Do you allow yourselves to be inconvenienced for the sake of others? If you're busy this season, stepping down from your world into the world of others, then you're getting in the right mood for this time of year. Christ not only stepped down from his world into the world of others, he stepped down in order to serve. It wasn't just to enter into the problems and to experience some of the inconveniences, but in order to serve was the purpose of his humiliation. The incarnation is the one key word that tells us something about the spirit of the season. But the other word is servant or service. He had the attitude of a servant. Look at verse 7. "He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant." What does it mean to be a servant? What does it mean to serve? There's other ways you could translate this. We could say he came to minister, to care for, to spend yourself on another, to benefit someone else, to make yourself available, to bring advantage to someone else. That's why he came, to advance and encourage and foster another. The servant comes to minister. That's why he stepped into the world as a minister. A servant considers others, as the scripture tells us. You know, it's interesting in the writing to the Philippians that there apparently was a problem, according to chapter 4, between this two women, Euodia and Syntyche. We don't really know exactly what their problem was, but they apparently had some difficulty in seeing eye to eye or getting along with each other. But part of the problem was that each needed to consider the other more. As we see in chapter 2, verse 4, he's already hinting about it. He says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's one of the marks of a servant who considers not just what you are concerned about in your own world, but the other world that you to be stepped into and to be inconvenienced, considering what the problems are of another person or what the needs are of another person. Or what are some of the hindrances that stop us from having a really full spirit of the season? What hinders us from the servant attitude? Look at verse 3, if you would. He says one thing. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. That's a hindrance. Another way to translate it, according to one Bible dictionary, was selfishness. Do nothing out of selfishness. Aristotle used the word there as translated selfish ambition. He used it as where it denotes of self-seeking pursuit of some political office in a wrongful pursuit of it, to trying to get ahead in the political world and doing it in the wrong method, just to promote yourself, just so you got there yourself is all that mattered. That's how Aristotle used it, the word. But the whole concept is being preoccupied with promoting yourself. And so I ask you this morning, what are you promoting in life? You know, the world wants us to package and promote ourselves. It's interesting. You've got to get your image out there. You've got to do whatever you need to do in terms of, as long as you promote yourself. But that certainly is alien to what Christ had come to do and the kind of spirit that He brought to earth. It was not a me mentality. It was a we. He did not say my will, but He said thy will. And so we see one of the hindrances could be selfish ambition. Another one is vain conceit. Look in verse 3. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, which could be translated empty glory. That is, again, to make choices that draw attention to yourself. So you'll get the center of attention. You'll get the pat on the back. And sometimes we do that, don't we? We manipulate your environment just so that we will get the recognition. Well, Paul says it's empty recognition, empty glory. It's like the bullfrog that puffs himself up. But you take a pin and you can pop it. It's empty. There's nothing to it. It's just an appearance of something larger than life. A servant stoops down and humbles himself. And that's what we find in the Incarnation. The Incarnation is a picture of a servant. God stooping down to serve through this child. The Last Supper, think of it. That's a picture of a servant. Christ stooping down to wash the disciples' feet. A servant meeting their needs on that day, their soiled feet, taking the towel, stooping down to do what needed to be done. And He says, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Those of you who are serving, continue to do those very things that you're doing. And all the more because you are having the Spirit that Christ has come to bring us. I think of the Humility Gate in Palestine. Think of it. Some of you know the story. There's a church in Palestine that was built, I think, sometime early in history, perhaps in the Middle Ages or earlier. But not much earlier, though. Because what was happening was the people were gathering to worship. And as they worshiped, these riders would come in on their horses they just ride right in the middle of the worship service and break it up. You know, just stomping over people. And so the church got wise in Palestine, and they built their building in such a way that you had a very low entrance. You couldn't get in unless you stooped way down low. The only way you could get into the church was to humble yourself. And they called it the humility gate. And that way it kind of kept the peace and the harmony in the church from these horses just driving, riding right in, plowing right into the service. See, they needed to humble themselves in order to get into that group. And so it is with the Lord. He came as a very humble servant, stooping way down low in the form of a little child, and wants us to catch a glimpse of how there can be peace and harmony in this season. A humble servant does not insist on his own rights. Look at verse 6. We talked about Christ coming as a servant. He humbled himself low and he did not insist on his own rights. Look in verse 6. He says, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." Another translation there for grasp is, "did not consider equality with God something to be exploited." That is something to be grabbed hold of and used to his own advantage. If I might paraphrase this, it's something like this. Christ as God has certain powers, okay? He had certain powers and certain rights, but he didn't choose to grasp hold of these and use them in the human situation to his own advantage. He didn't use his divine powers for his own personal gain. He didn't exploit his divinity by using it to shortcut his humanity. No, he came as fully human, willing to fully give himself, and didn't need to use some of these personal rights he had to his own personal gain. You know, Christ was arrested and a large crowd showed up. They were armed with clubs and they had swords. And Peter was ready to fight. Not only that, he just pulled out the sword and lopped off a man's ear in the crowd. And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, "Peter, put away your sword. Don't you think I can't call on my Father and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" The scholars tell us 6,000 per legion. That's 72,000 angels to help Him out. The Scripture says that Christ did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be grabbed hold of and used to his own advantage. No, what did he do? It goes on to say, "But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant." Or 2 Corinthians 8 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," that is, he had a rich, glorious world to spend upon himself, "though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And so we see this servant pouring himself out for others, which is what we find in verse 7. Look at it. The Word of God says he made himself nothing. And this is what most of you know, what has been very debated over the years. In the King James and others translate it more literally, in verse 7, he emptied himself, which is a literal translation. And some have tried to say, well, Christ emptied himself of his divinity. He emptied himself of his godness or his divine nature, which certainly the Bible is contrary to that. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, "I, the Lord God, change not." God doesn't change. God is always God, always has been God. And when God becomes a human, he doesn't stop becoming God. He just adds on a second nature. 100% God, now also 100% human. Both God and human. Forever. But Christ emptied himself, and I think the NIV is an excellent translation, which says he made himself nothing. Another way of translating would be he poured himself out. He emptied himself out. He gave all that he had, all his energy, all his strength. He just poured himself out like a pot of tea. Just tilted and gave everything he had. Even to the point of death. Isn't that what it says in the Scripture? Look at it. In verse 8. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death. To death on a cross. Folks, you want to know what the spirit of Christmas is? You feel these rushes this season, you see the lights or whatever, and you think, man, I'm getting in the mood. The mood is this. You are to be like Jesus Christ, who became incarnate. He humbled himself. He stooped down low into the world, our world. And so you must stoop down low into the world of others. Humble yourself in order to reach out and minister to people, becoming a servant. That's what it's all about. That's why He's come. That's why we have hope here in the season. So I trust that you'll take the Apostle Paul's word to heart in verse 5. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Well, let's meditate more on this through song as we prepare our hearts for communion. We see how the Lord has served us. We have a song here. It's a new one to us, but I think you'll find it quite rich. And we're going to sing it through once, or play it through once for you, and then you can join in.